In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone. A very special welcome to St. Benedict's. We're happy that you're here. And if you're visiting us for the first time, we hope that you feel at home and that you are happy here among us. We're very, very happy to have you. We always say that this is a church that feels like family. We hope that you feel like you're in God's house today, enjoying from the family. There was a young single guy who worked with his dad for a long, long time in the family business. And his dad was getting older and older. And one day his dad said to him, "Young man, one of these days I'm going to die, and you're going to have $20 million in your inheritance. But you don't have anyone to share it with. Why don't you find a wife and start a family?" And so the young man decided to take his dad's advice, and he left work for a day or two and went to the city. And shortly after he got there, he saw a beautiful woman, and he approached her. And he was a little socially awkward, you know, he didn't get out too often, but he said to her, "Listen, my dad has $20 million that he's going to leave me in a few days. And, you know, he's such a good guy, my dad. He's such a good guy, but he may not be around very long. And so, would you consider being my wife?" And so the young woman seemed very, very interested, and she asked him for a business card, and sure enough, the young man very quickly took out his business card and gave it to the woman. He thought, "Wow, I'm in luck, I'm gonna get a date, you know, something's gonna happen here." Well, two or three days passed, and all of a sudden, the young woman became his stepmother. You gotta be careful with money. It may not turn out the way you think it will. Wow, that's cool. This chapter of Luke 16, it's one of the most difficult parables of Jesus to understand. But it is all about how we use the resources God has given us. And I'm going to take it a step further. It has to do with discipleship. It has to do with how we follow Jesus with what we have. It has to do with what we are able to do with our talents, our intelligence, our material wealth, all of our resources, God-given resources. How do we use them? There was an elderly couple traveling on the road. They were on a long road trip on a very stormy night. There was a bit of a snowstorm in the Midwest, and so they decided to stop their travel and find a place to sleep. They wanted to retire early. But when they got to this very busy place with many hotels and many motels and places to stay, they realized that there were three or four conventions going on in that place, so all of the rooms were sold out. But eventually, the couple got to a place, and now it was late at night. And the couple said to the young man, the clerk in the front, "Listen, we know that the rooms are sold out, but you must have one place. You must have a spot for us, you know, a room that nobody wants, because we really need to stay. We just can't keep driving." And the young clerk was so hospitable, so welcoming. He said, "Listen, I don't have a room. all of the rooms in this city are sold out, but I can offer you my room. You can sleep in my room. That couple thought, you know, where is he going to sleep? You know, he's being very kind, but, you know, I feel bad that he won't have a place to stay. No, don't worry. I'll be up most of the night. You can use my room. And they were very grateful. And they had a wonderful night's sleep. And they woke up in the morning, and the gentleman went up to the clerk and said, listen, you welcomed us with so much love that we just want to show our appreciation. And I'm going to be sending you something because I think I have a hotel that you could run for me. Well, the clerk kind of got a kick out of it. And he thought that's kind of funny. You know, this old man walks in, he sleeps in my bed, and now he thinks he owes me like a new hotel, right? So he thought, this must be a joke. Well, time passed. 2, 3, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. About 6, 7 months later, the young man gets an envelope from New York City, and it's got a letter in it saying, remember I told you, I wanted you to come and run my hotel. Here's an airline ticket, a round trip airline ticket, right inside this envelope. Meet me in such and such a time, on such and such a day. Well, the young man went out there. He didn't know what he was going to encounter, but when he got there, the man went to pick him up at the airport in his limo. And when the young man walked into the car, he says, remember me. I'm the one that, oh yes, sir, I remember. You and your wife stayed in my room. Yes. He says, well, my name is William Waldorf Astor. And he took him to 34th Street and Park Avenue, where there was a beautiful place called the Waldorf Astoria, right? It's still one of New York's most beautiful hotels, and I hope that if you ever go there, you swing a little bit to the left, and you see the beautiful St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church right next to it. It's a church that comes out in all the movies and stuff. If you watch, you know, James Bond and a few of these, they love St. Bartholomew's Church in those movies. It's right next door to the Waldorf. But you know, this man became the first general manager of that hotel. Now, I'm sure that on that night, on that stormy night, he never thought that he would be housing the owners of the Waldorf Astoria in his little clerk's quarters. But he used the resources he had to do something that turned out to be much greater than he ever imagined. And if you think about it, that's what Jesus means when he says, you know, those who are trusted with very little will be trusted with great things. And if you cannot be trusted with very little things, how will you be trusted with great things? He never thought that that small gesture of generosity would turn into what it became for him, the opportunity that it became for him. I don't know how many of you know the story of Tom Monahan, but he's the founder of Domino's Pizza. And in the late 50s, early 60s, he and his brother got a $900, listen to me carefully, $900 loan to buy an old pizza shop that was falling apart in their native Michigan. And they got that little pizza shop, and they began to work. And many times they thought they had lost their investment because they were really struggling to make money from the pizza. He was studying to be an architect, left his studies behind to just spend time doing the pizza thing. And it's funny, on his first pizza delivery, he met his wife. That was in the 1960s, when she was in college. They're still married to this day. Interesting thing about it, with that $900 loan, that $900 investment in the 60s, eventually he built an empire. You know, his brother who had invested with him, you know, at the beginning, he got tired. He got fed up, and like a year or two later, he traded his half of the business for an old beat up VW, a Volkswagen. And so his brother was out. Now he was the only owner of his little piece of business. And I don't know how many of you remember, but in the 80s, Domino's Pizza became known because they would send you the pizza you ordered in 30 minutes or less, or if not, your pizza was free. Remember? They stopped doing that, unfortunately, in the 90s. I'm sure they had a lot of criticism because I'm sure a lot of those pizza delivery guys were crashing to try to get there. So that had something to do with it. Lawsuits. But this man had vision, and with those $900 that he invested in that business, do you know how much Domino's Pizza was sold for when he sold it in the 90s? $1 billion. He turned $900 of an investment in the 60s into a $1 billion business. What Jesus is saying today about the shrewd steward or the shrewd manager, however you want to call it, what Jesus is trying to say is sometimes as disciples of the Lord, sometimes as followers of God's way, we too have to be shrewd. We have to be able to use the resources God has given us and the gifts that God has given us in a way that actually take us where God wants us to go. Not necessarily where you may think God wants you to go, but where God wants you to go. But you know what our biggest problem is? We limit ourselves. We begin to hear voices in our head. I'm not talking about literal voices, that's another problem. You know, voices. We begin to hear, you can't do that. You're not smart enough. You don't have the capacity to do that. Forget about it. That's going to cost too much money. You'll never be able to accomplish that. And we begin to believe these things, and unfortunately, we limit. We limit the power of God in our lives. Because God has given us every ability to do whatever it is that he has planned for us, and to have the strength and the grace and the courage to carry it out. So I believe that Jesus is saying, be shrewd managers. Look, you've been blessed. You've been blessed with a lot. You have a lot to offer the world. Don't limit yourself. Don't ever think that you can't do it, because you can. You know, the great philosopher Soren Kierkegaard used to tell a story. It was a fictional story. But Kierkegaard said that there was a town that was duck town. They were all ducks. All of them were ducks. And on Sunday, the ducks went to church. Right? And they waddled down the center aisle. Quack, 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 right? And they all took their positions in their pews. And the pastor duck went up, quack, 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 to the pulpit. And the pastor duck opened up the duck Bible and opened up and said, you know, quack, 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 quack. And all of the ducks would say, amen. And pastor duck said, I've got something to tell you, ducks. You've been given wings by God. And all the ducks said, amen. And the pastor duck said, but you've been given big, big wings. If you spread them out, you'll see. You can fly. And all the ducks said, amen. And then the pastor duck tries to explain to them, but you don't understand. You can fly really high if you just flap them really well. You know, just do it. And you'll see, you'll fly above everything. I'm telling you, you will. And they all said, amen. And when the sermon was over, and the service was over, all the ducks waddled out of church. Quack, quack. Quack, quack. Quack, quack. That happens to us. That happens to us. We have been made for so much more. Look at what happens in our world right now in the political scene. What's happening? We hear about corruption. We hear about dishonesty. We hear about the left and the right, liberals and conservatives, Republicans and Democrats, and everything in between. And we're not impressed with what we hear. And by the way, that's a nonpartisan, non-political comment. I'm saying it because we're not impressed, are we? And all of it concerns us. But you know why it concerns us? Because we have a conscience. It concerns us because we have beliefs. It concerns us because we have certain morals, right? And we'd like to see more honesty in the world. We'd like to see more transparency in the world. We'd like to see people stop waddling. We'd like to start seeing people fly. Fly above the negativity, fly above the injustice, fly above the discrimination, fly above the prejudices. We'd like to see people really become disciples of the Lord, right? Well, I'm going to tell you what. The best way to change it is for us to start. We got to start flying. We got to correct our behaviors that are lacking and are not where God wants them to be. Guess what? We're all sinners. None of us is perfect, right? It's easy to point at, you know, famous people we watch on TV and on the news and say, oh, look what she did. Oh, look what he did. And look what the other one did. Oh, look at them. They're really corrupt. No, no. Look in your own neighborhood. Look in your own workplace. Look in your own family, and you will find some corruption. If we begin to fly, and if we begin to follow our God-given call, our life will be better. And the lives of those around us will be better. And the best way to create a world of love, of peace, of understanding, the best way to transform this whole system, this whole society we live in, is if we become people who stop waddling and begin to fly. Fly above our own pettiness. Fly above our own mediocrity. Fly above what we know in our hearts and minds is wrong. And then when we get that done, guess what? We can sit and rest. I love it when people ask me all the time, Father Albert, what do you aspire to in the church? You know, what position do you aspire to? Because people always want to give you a new rank. You know, they always want you to do something, right? And I'm like, well, I'm still aspiring to be a good Christian. That's a lot of work. I'm still aspiring to live according to my baptism. That's a lot of work. Don't try to give yourself, you know, lofty ideals and all that until you get the basics done. Let's be good followers of Jesus. Let's fly above the sinfulness, fly above the negativity, fly above those things that harm us and hurt us and hurt others, and then we'll be doing what God is calling us to do. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.